That's right, folks. Another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Today, we're going to be talking about five NFL draft sleepers. That's right. NFL veterans, current players that emerge as sleepers after the NFL draft. I bring on a special guest starting right now. And that special guest is Mr. Top 10 NFL mock draft, Ben Wisely. What's going on, Ben?
What is happening, Bobby? How are we doing?
I am good, man. NFL draft's in the books. Last week, we talked some winners and losers. And today, I asked you to come on board. And we're taking a little bit of a different approach. We're not talking rookies today, folks. We're talking about current players that saw their stock rise and are going to end up being sleepers. Before we get into all that, make sure you follow us across the board, by the way. We do TikTok, IG at Razzball Fantasy, and hop over to Razzball.com. We're doing great content across the board. Ben, talk to us a little bit about your thoughts about the NFL draft, how things shook out. What was your biggest surprise, maybe? Give us your two cents real quick.
It was really interesting. I mean, I think we all kind of knew the Cardinals were going to trade down. It was just really hard to work out exactly who for. So when the Texans moved up, it kind of put a lot of things into motion. Then the Seahawks taking Witherspoon was insane, but that kind of shook everything out in a really weird way. But ultimately, I think it ended up with some really interesting spots. I was really happy with my pick of Jahmyr Gibbs going to the Lions. I had that one locked in, and Robinson going to the Falcons. They're two really good fantasy options now, top 10 guys. But like the wide receivers, the tight ends, Kincaid to the Bills, that's ugly. So there's a whole heap of things where I was kind of like, this is not ideal for fantasy at all, but it was really interesting.
To talk about the Dawson Knox thing and with Dalton Kincaid now in Buffalo, I think there's a ripple effect that I was thinking about in my head that I didn't think about right away was how it's going to impact the receivers. See, right away you think Buffalo's fine. The receivers, they didn't draft anybody high. They did pick that kid shorter later in the draft. But in reality, what people don't realize is they could start playing two tight end sets more. And then now they have two more reliable guys. And the reason why I say this is because head coach Sean McDermott and Ken Dorsey were on that Carolina staff with Cam Newton in 2015 when they were second in the NFL in two tight end sets, pass attempts out of that formation. And that's the year they went to the Super Bowl. That's the year that Cam Newton was the MVP. And they could say, you know what, maybe we just got to get more versatile with our personnel and not lean so much into these smaller receivers. It could help the run game, especially having bigger bodies out there. So I think there is a ripple effect for Gabe Davis. Stephon Diggs is Stephon Diggs. He doesn't count. But Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakur, Justin Shorter, you know, you name it. Those guys I think will impact too. But any other final thoughts before we jump into this one?
I mean, you're 100% correct. The first thing, I've got a colleague at FFD Fantasy Football who he messaged me immediately after the draft. And the first thing he said was, Dalton Kincaid is the big slot guy. He's not a tight end. He's basically their third wide receiver. Because I was a bit down and I was like, oh, this is not ideal. But he was like, okay, no, this is fantastic news. This means that he's going to be getting a lot of passing usage and less blocking. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. All right, let's jump into it. Today's show, we're going to be talking about five sleepers, current players that emerged on the fantasy radar essentially because of what their teams did in the NFL draft. So let's get right into it. At number five, one of my favorites, Big Irv Smith, Cincinnati Bengals tight end. Tell us why you think he emerged as a potential sleeper in 2023.
Look, this absolutely blew my mind. I could not believe that the Bengals didn't take a tight end at all. Like, it's such a strong tight end class, and they took absolutely nothing. And not only that, but they didn't re-sign half of their existing tight ends. So that can really only tell you one thing. Either they have a free agent they've got in mind and they're planning on trading for one, which seems really unlikely at this stage, or it's Irv Smith. Now, to be fair, he's taking over from Hayden Hurst, who was only like the tight end 26 last year. So it's not like he's guaranteed to be a fantasy stud, but it's a high-powered offense that you'd expect them to get things going again this year, and he's going to be a part of it. So he's definitely the kind of guy you can take really late in drafts because he's going really late in drafts. I mean, he's got that upside. Plus, you can pick him up in dynasty in a lot of drafts. He's not even rostered in a lot of leagues. So he's the kind of guy you can stick on your roster and just see what happens because we know he's a good pass-catching tight end.
I did an episode a couple weeks ago, probably a month ago now, and one of my players with the most to gain from the draft was Irv Smith. I'll put a link to that, but let's just say I had a lot of nice things to say about him pre-injury in 2020. He actually started breaking out a little bit, and then he got hurt prior to the season last year, and he did not, and then of course we know the TJ Hockenson trade happened, so there was something brewing, and this kid was really young when he was drafted, and he's out of Alabama. He's got all the pedigree you need. He got high draft capital, so I love this pick. Let's jump down to number four. It's Devontae Parker. So when you look at the Patriots, they drafted two six-round picks, wide receivers, so nothing really scares you off there, especially because Parker has that first-round pedigree. Now, I know it's been a long road. He's about 30 years old. He feels like he's been in the NFL forever, but last year he was his first year in New England, okay? So when I was looking at this, I go, all right, New England last year was an absolute offensive disaster. I mean, Matt Patricia was calling plays. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but like I'm not sitting here trying to make it seem like I'm an NFL expert or anything, but I could have told you that wasn't going to work out, but and it came true. But now you bring in Bill O'Brien, and that's a stabilizing hand, a guy who we know, you could say what you want about how he trades players and his GM abilities are terrible, but him as an offensive coordinator and play caller, he has proven to be very good. So I love that as a stabilizing hand. And here's a couple of reasons why. So last season, you look at the nine games where Devontae Parker was healthy and played 75% of the snaps. He averaged over 10 PPR points per game. However, if you actually look into his game logs, he got off to a really slow start. Only had two targets in the first two games. So if you take out those games, his points per game jumps to 13.2. That would have been wide receiver 29 last year. So when he was healthy and on the field, he was producing. And he had some big games last year as well with all that madness going on. And then when you look at the Patriots offense, the biggest thing is last year he was the new guy. He was learning Mac Jones, learning the offensive system. And Jacoby Myers was that guy in the offense, the number one, the slot guy. And I know they replaced him with Juju, but Juju's now the new guy this year. And Devontae Parker has the chemistry with Mac Jones, so he does have a slight leg up there as well. Then you look at Jonnu Smith, same thing with him, flipping him out for Mike Gesicki, and they also let go Nelson Aguilar. So there is some opportunities available to this offense, but it really comes down to Bill O'Brien for me. Now, if you look at Bill O'Brien's offense, he built his offense around DeAndre Hopkins. And what Hopkins was in those years, he was a high A-dot, low yards after the catch kind of guy, pushing the ball downfield, and that's what Devontae Parker really does best, contested catches down the field. And on top of that, coming out of college, he was compared to A.J. Green. So I think he fits perfectly with that vertical style offense. But let's just say, for example, he ends up being the number two. Let's say Juju is that guy and he becomes the one. I just wanted to take a look at the wide receiver twos under Bill O'Brien from 2014 to 2020. The average fantasy finish was wide receiver 37, okay? Five of the seven seasons, they were 37 or better. They had one year, the wide receiver two, where he was like 75, and it skewed the whole thing. But five out of seven seasons, borderline wide receiver three numbers. Currently today, he's going best ball pick 323.
So, 323.
I know. So it's pretty, let's just say he's nowhere near wide receiver three. I just think he's a name to watch. He has proven that one year with Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami. I still love it so much. So I think there's something to say about Devontae Parker. Any quick thoughts about Parker before we jump down to number three?
I mean, look, you're not taking him before the last round of your drafts. I mean, before your kickers, because you're not insane. But I really think there is an opportunity there. There's so much that can go wrong. I mean, is Mac Jones even going to be the starter? There's lots of Bailey Zappi talk. But, I mean, It doesn't matter either way. If you're a starting wide receiver in the NFL, you should kind of be drafted in fantasy, especially in deeper leagues. And he's the kind of guy you can just take a shot on. Really easy to drop him if things don't work out.
I like it, baby. All right, going down to number three, Nico Collins, the Houston Texans wide receiver. So why do you want to highlight Nico Collins as a potential sleeper in 2023?
Look, there's a lot going on here, but I think the key point here is that the Texans are kind of forcing themselves into a pass-heavy offense. I know they got Damian Pierce. I really don't know that he's the kind of guy that can really carry your offense. So they're going to have to go pretty pass heavy. They're going to be chasing games a bit. Their defense still needs some work. And they've got a quarterback that's just going to stand in the pocket in CJ Stroud and pass. And so you want to be a wide receiver in that case. And they haven't really picked anyone up. I mean, I know they got Tank Dell in the third round. He's not very good. Like, he's not really a third round talent. He's fine. Stroud likes him, but Nico Collins is the guy. They've taken out Brandon Cooks. No one else has clearly come in to take that spot. So Nico Collins is the wide receiver one in an offense that's going to have to pass a lot, especially in garbage time, you'd expect. That's kind of a recipe for fantasy success. We've seen it with players who go to teams that are down towards the bottom of the table, but are forced to pass a lot, and it usually works out pretty well for them. So I really like him in this spot.
Do you think he could be... So we know the 49ers are now running the show down there, essentially. It's the 49ers South. You got the 49ers former defensive coordinator. They got a guy from the offensive staff. Now, Nico in his early career has only been kind of a vertical threat, not a lot of yards after the catch. Do you think he could kind of fit into a Deebo mold at some point, or do you think he's just going to have... They're going to have to adapt to his skill set?
I think they'll adapt to his skill set. He's more that kind of big outside guy. They've got other guys that they can work into there. They've got Dalton Schultz now, who can now slide into that slot role and work inside a lot. John Metchie's probably someone who can do that sort of like that speed role a little bit more. And if he can get healthy, I really like him as well. I think he's someone else that wins in this situation. It's a good indication that he's probably healthy if they're not bringing in anyone else. They've got Robert Woods as well, but he's pretty much washed. So I think that he'll probably take one of those roles, get very few targets, and that means even more for Collins.
Robert Woods, he was just standing around as a bystander. You took a shot right at him. Robert Woods was just minding his own business. That's all right. We're going to move on to Van Jefferson at number two. Okay, wow. First of all, we talked about this pre-show. Talk about a team that, by the way, who traded Allen Robinson right before the draft and decided the only player they picked up was, I think it's Nuka Puka. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you how to say it.
Puka Nacua. I had him in a college fantasy league last year.
Beautiful. So that they got him in the fifth round, but outside of that, it's like Ben Skoranek, Van Jefferson, and of course, Cooper Kupp. Now, of course, you got Tyler Higbee as well, but this is the other thing I think a lot of people forget about Van Jefferson. Not only does he have the draft capital, he's a second round pick, but last year, August 1st, he had to get a cleanup on his knee. One of the biggest rules of fantasy football, I'll say a million times again and again, stay away from people that are hurt. You're going to lose more times than you're going to win. And right there, when he got that cleanup surgery, he was out for pretty much the first half of the year. And then on top of that, when he came back, Matthew Stafford got hurt. So last year was kind of just a waste of a season. But I think a lot of people forget, not only was he a second-round pick, but he was compared to guys like Marvin Jones coming out of college who have been very productive. He's 90th percentile in 40-yard dash and speed score. So he's got elite speed on the outside, perfect complement to guys like Tyler Higbee and Cooper Kupp. But the other thing I want to just say, too, is the Rams' offense last year was completely a disaster on the offensive line. So they got so many injuries. They drafted a kid in the second round, but also three of their starters are coming back from injury. So hopefully that allows Matthew Stafford to stand in the pocket and deliver footballs downfield. I think that's going to help them vertically in this offense. But also Matt Harmon's reception perception talked about him a few years ago that he showed a lot in his initial review of him back, I think it was in 2020 or 2021. He said his NFL action was largely been encouraging. He's a crafty player developing solid route traps in a high degree of difficulty role. So that's encouraging to me that someone who looks at the player's routes says that he's an NFL caliber player. Now, the opportunity is huge because Allen Robinson's gone. He's without a doubt locked into a starting role. Maybe Ben Skoranek fights off the new guy, the rookie. But they're vacating a decent amount of opportunities. And plus, last year, the Rams didn't throw as much because they were going through all these issues. And then Matthew Stafford got hurt. So I think there's going to be even more opportunities than what you see with vacated targets. In 2020, his rookie season, he averaged 2.9 PPR points per game. That jumped to 9.9 in his second year. That's the kind of jump we want to see. And then, of course, he gets hurt. So I think from that perspective, he showed us what he could do. And he was already making that leap in year two. So 252nd overall right now in best ball draft. So definitely a guy you can get late. Any quick thoughts about Van Jefferson?
I mean, obviously, look, you made the key point. The injury is the issue. I mean, if you just look at the raw data and go, well, hold up, he was the wide receiver one at times last year when Cooper Kupp was hurt and Allen Robinson was out. Why did he only finish as the wide receiver 42? But it is that injury, and that offense was just terrible. Like, it was absolutely awful. They had no idea what was going on. They were trying to run the ball constantly with terrible running backs, or at least underperforming running backs and no O-line. There was just nothing going on at all. Look, I don't think Nacua is coming in to take a role. Skoranek plays as a fullback half the time. They do some weird stuff with him as well. there really are only two wide receivers who are going to be heavily involved in this offense, and Van Jefferson's one of them. Now, Cooper Kupp's going to take like up to like 20 targets a game sometimes. It's absolutely insane how much volume he gets. But you pass a lot more than that in the NFL, especially when you're a team that's rebuilding a little bit, like I think the Rams probably are. I've no idea what they're doing tactically on a macro level. But anyway, I do see them needing to chase a lot of games. Jefferson will need to get targets. I like having a late-round gamble on him.
I like it. All right. Number one is probably the best of all. Chig Okongwu. I did a, if you want to go back, I did a whole episode dedicated to him prior to the draft saying this guy is going to be a sleeper. And now you come out and say, I want to talk about Chig Okongwu. I'm like, okay, let's go. This is going to get too hyped up. But talk to us why Chig Okongwu needs to be on everyone's fantasy radar heading into 2023.
Oh, Chiggy, baby. Look, I love this guy. It was always going to be tough last year. He's not the greatest blocker, and so they had Austin Hooper doing a lot of that work, but they haven't replaced Austin Hooper at all. They've brought in like a fifth rounder who could easily end up being the fullback, and they've just got a whole heap of guys behind him. So they clearly expect him to take that role. This is a team that's got a history of making players like Delanie Walker absolute fantasy stars, even though the team kind of sucked at that stage. They're going to want to run the ball, but then they're going to need to pass in certain situations. Obviously, Treylon Burks is pretty good, but they didn't really get anyone besides him either. So there's so few pass catchers in this offense, and it's not like they've got a pass-catching running back either. They really have very few pieces, but they're going to need to chase some games. Their defense is not very good. They drafted all offensive players. So, I mean, you've got to assume that Okonkwo is going to be in that tight end one conversation. There's very few clear tight end ones, and he has massive upside. If they start using him as a top two pass catcher in that offense, he can easily be a top five tight end. They use him in the red zone. They use him in all situations. He's so athletic, so dangerous. We knew this when he came in as a rookie. He blew up the combine. He's just a really big name to watch.
Oh, God. Yes. Yes, I already said it. I did a 6-minute monologue about Chig, so I'm in. Everything he just said, go watch the other video plus what I said equals fantasy sleeper that you need on your fantasy teams heading into 2023. That's all we got, folks. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Ben, why don't you tell the people what you got upcoming, where they can find your content, and take it away.
Oh, look, we've got a heap going on at the moment. I'm obviously doing articles for Razzball. At the moment, we're looking at the rookie production of players in their first year. So you know what to expect when you draft that rookie quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Quarterbacks and running backs are out. Wide receivers and tight ends will be out in the next week or two. Obviously, you can catch us on Instagram at The Fantasy First Down. We answer every one of your questions over there. And on Twitter at Fantasy First Down without an O. Because Fantasy First Down is too long for a Twitter handle. So obviously hit us up there if you want to talk about fantasy, dynasty, even IDP. We do some IDP stuff too. So always happy to have a chat and help you out with your fantasy issues, trade questions, draft questions, rookie questions. Hit us up.
Absolutely. And make sure you go follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com. I'm your host, Bobby Lamarcu. Thank you for joining us again. We are out of here, folks. Razzball.